I want to welcome everybody here. It's good to see all of your faces and visitors that are here for the weekend and college kids. My son's here. I'm so happy when he's home, and I know that there's a lot of happy families to have their kids home from college. And probably some new visitors here that are here for Thanksgiving weekend that maybe don't know me. I'm Toby, and I'm the children's pastor here at the Little Church by the Sea. And I get to give a message today on hope, and I'm really excited about that because I feel over the past year, whenever I've been praying for somebody or a situation, and I'm just at a loss for words and I don't know what to pray, that I ask God, God, what should I pray for this person? And I hear the word hope. And I've heard it again and again and again. I keep thinking maybe this new situation, a new word is going to come, but it's always hope. And so I was really excited when I found out that I got to bring this message today. It's really, really been a prayer of mine, and I've been praying for all of you that you would feel hope stirred in your hearts today. And I have the picture. I'm a very visual person, so I have the picture of the Grinch in the movie The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, when his little heart grew three times the size that day, that it kind of burst right out of the frame. Except I don't want to limit the hope that I want you to experience to just three times the size. I hope that it's something that's overflowing, that you feel encouraged, and then it's poured out to others. So what I want to do is pray before we begin. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, our living hope. And by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would enliven our hope today. I pray that you would encourage us so that your hope flows out of us to others and we can share that. I thank you so much for this time we have together. I thank you for everything that you give us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to let you know that in the back on the table, I have an outline of the message today. It's on a yellow piece of paper. And I like to use a lot of scriptures. And so I didn't want you to have to worry about trying to write them all down. They're all typed up for you. If you're interested in it afterwards, they'll be there. So just know that that's available. First thing that I wanted to do is to look at the definition of hope. And when I was studying for this, I came to realize that there's two kinds of hope. One is a natural hope, and one is a divine hope. And a natural hope is something where you wish for something or you desire something, but you don't have, it's a possibility that that hope can be fulfilled, but there's not a guarantee, there's not a certainty. But with a divine hope, you have a certainty, a guarantee. And in scripture, according to Hebrew and Greek words that were translated by the word hope, and by according to the biblical usage, hope is an indication of certainty. It's a strong, confident expectation. And it's similar to the word trust. And there's several words that are used to translate the word hope. And I just want to look at one of them because I think it gives us a really good visual. And I'm a visual person, so I like visuals. And it's a Hebrew word, and the word is called tikva. And it actually means a cord or an attachment. And from that root word, there's a word kava. And that means that it's something that gives you a sense of being strengthened together when something is bound together. And that it's like a rope or a cord, and that it endures even when it's stretched or tested. So this divine hope is like a cord or an attachment. It's like a rope that's bound together, that's very strong. And our hope is when we are bound together with God. This is the strength of hope. Divine joining with flesh. Jesus says, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And I think it's such a beautiful picture of hope. And in Ecclesiastes, it says that if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So this concept of hope that's symbolically represented by these words is the trust that's placed in an unbreakable promise. And Jesus is our unbreakable promise. He said, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So, as it says in Hebrews, let us hold fast with the confession of our hope without wavering, For he who promised is faithful. We have an unbreakable promise from our faithful Father through his Son, Jesus. This is our divine hope, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. So I want to ask you today, what are you putting your hope in? Sometimes we get a little sidetracked and we put our hope in other things. Are you putting your hope in yourself? Maybe your strengths, your abilities, your talents. Maybe you're putting your hope in others, a parent, a spouse, a friend, a teacher, a coach. Maybe you're putting your hope in your possessions, your job, your home, the things that you have. What are you hoping for today? Are you hoping for something simple, like a good parking spot, or a good surf, or that the Packers would win the Super Bowl? Or maybe you're hoping for things that are really serious, like healing for people that are sick. Or maybe you're hoping to be married. Or you hope for the welfare of your children, or that you might have children. Or for you to do well in school, to have a job, food, clothes, shelter. There are serious things that we hope for. We hope for those that are persecuted. We hope that there's peace and not war. What happens when our hopes fail? When what we're hoping in and what we're hoping for don't match up with what we were wanting? We might experience disappointment or discouragement or doubt. Satan loves to come in and take advantage of situations like this. He opposes our hope. He opposes God. He wants to separate us from God. So he tries to take advantage of our suffering by sowing seeds of despair. Despair, by definition, means that we have no hope or that we have abandoned hope. In difficult times, we might say that we're at the end of our rope. Maybe we've let go. Maybe we feel like we're free-falling. And I think about, for this, a picture of a rock climber who's lost his grip, and he falls. But he doesn't plunge to his death because he has a climbing harness around his waist that has a safety rope that's attached. And that rope, to me, goes back to that picture of that word, that cord or attachment or being bound together with God. This hope that we have in God is like a safety rope for us. And as I prepared the message today, I was thinking about my own hope and where my hope was at. And I felt like, kind of like, I had this hope, but like there was a blanket that was put over it. Somehow it wasn't as shiny as it should be. It was sort of covered and not as vibrant as I wanted it to be. And so I had to really ask myself, why did I feel like I was holding back on sharing hope with others? And I think that what I realized is that because I see suffering, so much suffering, that it made me feel cautious with my hope, that somehow I was protecting it by holding back my hope, but I wasn't protecting it. I was just giving Satan permission to hold it down. And I don't want to be somebody that holds back my hope. And so I reminded myself and I remembered how when I was in my most difficult times of suffering, how God came in and Jesus was my comfort and he was my strength and he was everything that I needed. He is no stranger to suffering. He knows exactly what we're going through and what we need. And I believe that hope can burn more intensely when we go through times of suffering. There are certain seeds that God created that will only grow after a fire. They are sealed shut with sort of like a resin, and they won't grow unless there's an intense heat. And when that fire comes, they will reseed the hillsides with these certain kinds of seeds that are made. And so I think about hope being like that, and I'm reminded that I can still have this hope even if the things that I'm wanting don't turn out the way that I want, because I have this divine hope that's above every other kind of hope, and that he knows things that I don't know. He's in control of everything. And I just think about how I don't want to be, we aren't beggars looking for crumbs of hope. We are guests that are invited to this banquet table that God sets for us in the presence of our enemies. In the presence of our enemies, he sets a banquet table and he invites us to it. That's the kind of hope that we have. So In Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, there's a scripture that I really wrestled with. And this scripture says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. I wrestled with this scripture in this season of suffering because I had to ask myself, did I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? And not just this future hope of what I was going to see in heaven. And I came to realize that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because that goodness was the presence of God with me in every situation, in my sufferings and my celebrations. And I realized that this is the same hope that was revealed to Job as he despaired over his sufferings. His fellowship with God was enough. My fellowship with God is enough. My fellowship with God through his son Jesus. My cup is overflowing. Our cup is overflowing right from the start before anything else is added to it. And I feel like I have so many things to be thankful for. I'm so blessed. But if all of those things were taken away, my cup is still overflowing. God, the God of the universe, is in control of all things and all of its facet and all of our lives. I think about Isaiah 55, and I'm reminded where it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We often don't know why things happen the way that they happen, but we can be confident that we have a God that loves us and that he's in control of everything. So I have another illustration for you. It's called Hope in the Dumps. And last year, Sam, our youth leader, took a group of kids from the youth group to Guatemala. And they worked with an organization called Hope Renewed, and I love that name. And they visited a prison and a ghetto and a community that lived on the outskirts of the dump. And I was talking with Danny Steele, one of the youth leaders there, and asked her about her experience. And one of the things that stood out the most to her, she said, was the pure joy and the hope that was on the faces of the people that lived there. Whether they were serving a sentence in prison for somebody else's crime, which they can do there in Guatemala, send somebody else to prison to pay for your crime and be separated from your family, or living 8 people in a room with aluminum siding in a ghetto and there's holes in the wall because you're being shot at, or you're looking for things in the dump to help you to survive, that they all had a strong conviction, a strong confidence and a hope in God, that God would take care of them even in their suffering. Because of the hope that they demonstrated, Danny said that she felt so encouraged that her hope was made stronger to trust God for the things that she was dreaming of, because she knew that her ultimate hope was in God and that God was with her in every situation. Our hope doesn't depend on external circumstances. Natural hope, which is uncertain, is swallowed up by divine hope. So Satan wants us to give up our hope, or at least to choke it, put chains on it, lock it in a prison, but he can't do that without our permission. And so we should refuse and let Jesus anchor our soul, our mind, our wills, and our emotions. When we fix our hope on Jesus, our hope is set free and it's released from bondage, because Jesus is the hope and the anchor of our soul. And that reminds me of another one of my favorite scriptures, and that's from Hebrews 6, and it's verse 18 through 20. And it says that in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope that's set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope that's both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. We have a strong encouragement when we take refuge in Jesus and lay hold of this hope. This hope is both sure and steadfast. So I want to ask you, how alive is your hope today? Before we go any further, I just want to take a moment to consider this. And so I'm going to ask you if you would just close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine that your soul has a hope tank, and this hope tank has a gauge, kind of like a gas gauge. What is the reading on your gauge? Is the needle at the full line, bursting, and your hope is spilling out because your tank was topped off? Is it in the middle, or the warning light is on? Maybe you're past running on fumes, and you're empty and you're broken down on the side of the road. Ask God to show you how alive your hope is today. You may not even be aware of where you're at. Do you need some assistance, some hope for your tank? You can be honest with God about how you're feeling. Ask Him to help you. He is the source of hope. He is the power, and it's by His power, the power of His Holy Spirit, that we abound in hope. Go ahead and open your eyes. At the end of our message, I have a special prayer of hope that I want to pray for you to receive hope or have your hope reignited. But what I want to look at first before we do that is some ways that we can nurture our hope. And this is also on the outline that I have in the hallway if you're interested in it. But I was talking to my daughter on the phone last week. She goes to school in Virginia, a little too far for her to drive home for college, but I'll see her at Christmas. And I asked her, what do you think about hope? And she said that she's been learning lately that hope is a spiritual discipline and that it's something that you need to look for. And I thought that was a good tip, that we need to look for it. And I started thinking about how if you're looking for a new car, that make and model that you're looking for, has this ever happened to you, where suddenly you see that's the only car you see on the road? You never knew there were so many of that car. But once you're looking for it, you see it everywhere. And so I was thinking that with hope, that it's like that too. When we start looking for hope, we feel more hopeful and we see more and more situations of hope. And I personally think that we should have a TV channel called Hope TV to kind of go along with the nightly news, because we hear so much about all the evil and all the tragedies that are going on in the world, but not so much about all the hopeful things that are happening. And I recently heard somebody say that evil is a dot compared to hope. It's just this little spot. And that hope is so big, and there's this little dot of evil. But I think that little dot of evil sometimes is right in front of our face, because that's all we talk about and all we hear. But if we stood back and looked, we would see all of this hope that is around us. So looking for hope is one way that we can nurture it's one way we can nurture our hope, is just by looking for it. And so I have a list of 10 things that can be a spiritual practice of nurturing hope. And the first one is to believe in the God of hope. Romans, it says, for the scriptures says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. And in Mark, I love this story. It says, I do believe, help my unbelief. This is a story of a father who was desperate for his child to be delivered from a demon. And he asked Jesus if Jesus could help. And Jesus asked him if he believed. And he said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And I don't know about you, but I felt like that before, where I believe, in my mind I believe, but I'm not feeling it in my heart. And I love that that's included, because I can say, God, I believe, but help me, because something's not connecting in my heart. And so that is something that we can do, is ask God to help us wherever we're at, wherever we're struggling with believing. And the second step is to invite Christ into your life, and you will have hope. He will come in and dwell in the longing heart, and you will be bound together like that rope. God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Step number 3 is to ask. Ask for what we need. Ask for strength if you're feeling weary. Ask for courage if you're afraid to feel hopeful because you've been disappointed. Ask for the power of God's Spirit to help you, because it's His Spirit that gives us hope. Psalm 31 says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. In Romans 15:13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The fourth step is praise. Our greatest defense against the enemy is praise. Even if it's just a sigh or a croak or one syllable, On my most difficult days, I feel like all I could do was breathe, just one breath to the next. But somehow in that breath, I was just saying the name Jesus. And that was my prayer. It was an offering. It was a sacrifice because I felt like losing hope. But God gave me the strength to just say his name. And that was a start. So praising God is a way to nurture our hope. Psalm 71:14 says, "But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise thee yet more and more." Step number 5 is to command our soul. Give your soul pep talks. I do that all the time. And I love it because in the Psalms, David, there's so many examples of where he's giving his soul a pep talk. And one of my favorites is Psalm 42, verse 5. It says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." Step number 6 is recall. Recall to mind. Remember God's past faithfulness. Remember his miracles. Remind yourself of those things because they encourage your hope. In Lamentations, it says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him." Step number 7 is wait in silence. Psalm 62, verse 5 says, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him." Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Often we need to be quiet. We live in such a busy world that it's really hard to set aside the time to carve it out, to just sit and be still. We don't have to say anything or do anything or even pray a list, but just listen and see what God might want to say to you in that time that will encourage your hope. Step number 8 is to rejoice in hope. Rejoice is expressing great joy. It's not ho-hum. It's not holding back. I think about Superman with a big letter S on his chest, and I think of hope, like super hope. You have a big H on your chest. It should be something that's apparent to others. So rejoice in hope. And step number 9 is encouragement of the scriptures. The scriptures are living and active, so when we read God's word, we're encouraged and we're interacting with it, and it's changing us. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And the last step is to give hope. When you give hope, you get hope back. And I think about how when you take one candle and you light it together with another candle, at that moment where the two wicks come together, you get this brighter flame. And I think about that as being sort of a picture of hope. And we have our panel up here, the first panel with the candle in it. And I also think about Christmas Eve. On the Christmas Eve service, I love it when all the candles are lit. And they start with one candle. They light the candle for the first person that's on the row. And they turn and they light it to the next person. And within minutes, the whole entire room is just glowing with these candles. And I think that's such a good visual and a reminder of us of how we can share hope and how it can just light up a whole room. So we should be agents of hope. And that means that we should be like Jesus, a servant, a helper, a comforter, and a lover of others, even the lowliest and most unworthy. Jesus loved the tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, those that were sick, those that were poor. He's the good news which brings great joy for all people. Jesus, his name literally means the Lord is salvation. He came to us deliberately understated as a baby that's born in a stable, completely dependent for his care. He laid in a manger in utter humility and meekness. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. We should have this same attitude in ourselves of emptying ourselves out. This incarnation of God is a beautiful mystery. Divine joining with flesh, the union of God in the person of Christ. And our hope is in being bound together with Christ. In Matthew it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. This God is our past hope, who is in the beginning, and became flesh 2,000 years ago and dwelt among us. He's our present hope, Christ who dwells in our hearts through faith, and he's our future hope as we wait eagerly for his return. I think about pictures of hope in our church. Because we have Christ in us, dwelling in us, we're able to be the hands and feet of hope to others. So let's do what we can to offer hope. Show hospitality, invite somebody in, share a meal, listen. Just listen to somebody and talk to them. Smile. Smile is a great way to give somebody hope. I think about with Peggy in our church, who is suffering from a spinal cord injury, how many people I've heard about. Such a beautiful picture in our church of sharing hope by visiting and bringing meals and the way that people have tended to her. And also, my husband Rick, he works at the Friendship Shelter, which is an organization for the homeless community, and he said that his favorite part of the job is when somebody comes in and he gets to meet with them, he can offer them hope. And that's the best part of his job. He can listen to their stories, offer them something to eat and a place to sleep. And that when they come in, they feel like there's no tomorrow. But because of that hope that's given, they can live for another day. Hope brings life. And also, I was thinking about, there are a lot of other people in our church body also that volunteer in the Friendship Shelter. And I know with our the dinner that Corey is organizing, that is an opportunity for you guys to be agents of hope and helping with that, because it brings a lot of encouragement to both the staff and the residents when they get to come and participate in that meal. And anyways, many of you can be agents of hope. We all should be agents of hope. And so you should start to look for what you can do. It doesn't have to be something that's complicated. I know Wednesdays my son doesn't have class, and he and a friend have been going to the store and buying a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and jelly and making sandwiches and going down in Santa Monica just with what they have and just sitting and talking to some of the homeless people there and giving them a meal and just some community and company. So just start wherever you are with whatever you can do. In closing, I want to say a prayer for you. And I'd like to ask if you guys would just open your hands. And you can hold them up or put them in your lap if you're comfortable doing this. And one image that I can think of that reminds me of hope is an image of little birds in a nest. They are completely dependent for their care. They cry out for their food. They open their little beaks and they eagerly wait for it. And I think about how God is mindful of the sparrow. How much more does he love you and care for you? So let's bow our heads and open our hands and our hearts. Offer yourselves to God honestly wherever you're at and let him fill you with hope. Dear God, you are the source of all of our hope. Will you fill each of us with all joy and peace in believing so that we can have an abundance of hope by the power of your Holy Spirit? Like the confident expectation that the sun will rise each morning, let hope rise in our hearts. Jesus, you are the candle that ignites hope in our soul. You are the unbreakable promise. For some who have lost hope, will you reignite it? For others, will you cause their hope to burn more brightly? If there are some here who have never known you, would you reveal yourself to them and cause them to feel the hope of your presence? I thank you that hope does not disappoint, because your love has been poured out within our hearts through your Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Thank you, Father God, for sending us your Son, who dwells in us, and we are bound together. Help us to confidently share this hope with others. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.